Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Homeschooling has become a very integral part of American society. Whether the mainstream media and those on the left want to admit it, it has. Increasingly, parents are getting frustrated with the public school system. We enjoy the right to homeschool in this country, but others do not enjoy that right, and in some nations, it is actually illegal for parents to teach their own children in their homes. One such country is Germany. Parents who homeschool face fines and removal of their children from their homes. Earlier this year, we heard of a family court judge in Germany refusing to return legal custody of four children to Christian parents to prevent that family from obtaining visas that would allow them to travel to a country where homeschooling is permitted. Those children, ages 7 to 14, had been forcibly removed in August when the home was stormed by 20 social workers, police officers, and special agents. But probably the German family that most caught the eye of Americans was a homeschooling family that had already traveled to and was living in the United States. The Romike family came here in 2008 and was peacefully living in Kentucky, homeschooling their children. They had been granted asylum until the Obama administration stepped in. For an update on the family and the good news that was just announced days ago, my guest is Jim Mason, an attorney with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, or HSLDA. And Jim, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And I know the HSLDA was very much involved in this case, I think, from day one. And just tell us what HSLDA is. We'll just start there.
Well, Homeschool Legal Defense Association is a private advocacy group that we're founded, and our mission is to protect and advance the right of parents to homeschool. We've been around since 1983. At the time in America, there were many legal issues surrounding homeschooling, and we're happy to say today and for a long time now, it's completely unquestionably legal to homeschool in all 50 states of the United States, and many hundreds of thousands of children do so every day, and it's growing by leaps and bounds almost every year. The Department of Education does a report every 4 or 5 years, and the rate of growth of homeschooling in America continues to rise.
Well, that's fantastic. I think it's because of, as I mentioned earlier, the frustration with the public school system, which is going to get worse with Common Core. But we won't even go there to discuss Common Core. Do you know how long it's been illegal for German families to homeschool? Is this something recent?
No, it's not something recent. It was first enacted back in the 30s. Before World War II, and part of that reason behind that law back in the 30s was, frankly, to make sure that all children learned what the state wanted them to learn.
Mm-hmm.
After World War II, you know, things obviously changed a lot in Germany, but the compulsory attendance laws in Germany have not changed. It's still mandatory that you either go to a public school or to a private school that's been authorized by the state and uses state curriculum, by the way.
So what's the difference? You're just paying to send your kids to a private school, but you're still getting the same curriculum.
Right.
Yeah, so they didn't see the need to change the law. Why do you think the German government still views it as being a necessary part of German life to go to a German government-approved school?
It appears to be the public policy of Germany to make sure that all children come up through the same school system so that the state-approved value system can be inculcated in all children. Another stated reason, they say, is to prevent the emergence of, quote, parallel societies, which would include, people who raise their kids outside the state schools in religious beliefs that the parents agree with.
So they just want cookie-cutter kids. That's what it sounds like to me. Have all the kids taught the same thing, the same philosophy, the same beliefs, so that they all believe, so that they all do what the government says.
And they wrap it up in kind of an interesting bow by saying that, you know, if some kids were allowed to be educated outside that system, the other kids would be deprived of their presence. And so for the sake of diversity, the people who don't want to be involved with the public schools have to be forced into the public schools so that the other kids will have the benefit of, quote, diversity.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, and I'm not making that up. That's been actually stated. German policy.
Oh, wow. Do you know if there's been any attempt, or do you think there'll be, he probably can't answer this, but do you think there will be an attempt to change the German law, especially if the very well-publicized Romeike case?
Well, we certainly hope so. And, you know, we, along with our friends over in Germany, are working, trying to get one of the German states at least to relax their rules regarding homeschooling. And we're hoping that the publicity from the Romeike case and the work that German groups are doing over in Germany would lead to that result.
No, that's for sure. Now, the Romeikes were already here. They settled on a small farm in Kentucky, had joined a local Baptist church, and had become a very important part of that small community, and even been granted asylum by an asylum judge. Then what happened? Because I hadn't even heard of this situation until, I think, February of last year. Is that about when this all, the fat hit the fire?
Well, what happened, so that in the immigration system, when you are granted asylum by an immigration judge, the Department of Homeland Security has a certain amount of time in which to appeal. They did appeal that judgment, and it went to the Board of Immigration Appeals, and it kind of sat there for a couple of years, frankly, without getting an answer. And then when the Board of Immigration Appeals, which is an administrative agency, decided the appeal from the immigration judge, they reversed the immigration judge and held that the Romeikes were not entitled to asylum. We then appealed to the federal court. In this case, you go straight to the Court of Appeals from the Board of Immigration Appeals. And the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati agreed with the Board of Immigration Appeals, which is what led to us asking the Supreme Court to take the case.
Right. What is the U.S. asylum law? I thought if there was persecution, that religious persecution, that was one of the reasons that people could gain asylum in this country.
Yeah, that was the legal question before the courts. The immigration judge agreed with our position that the treatment the Romeikes received in Germany, while not yet rising to the level of persecution, but would have become persecution if they had been required to go back. And that includes the fines and the threats to remove kids and things like that. He believed that when they went back, those, you know, the threats would be followed through on.
Right.
And he concluded that that was persecution. The Board of Immigration Appeals and the Sixth Circuit, neither one thought that was persecution under American law. And the reason that they stated that was that it was just a natural consequence of violating Germany's compulsory attendance laws.
So it's not would not be persecution. And my understanding is that the Romeikes had already paid fines and that they had been threatened with losing custody of their kids. And on one occasion, they'd actually been, the police had actually forcibly escorted the children to the public school.
That's all true.
So yes. They had already, I mean, I call that persecution.
I do too. Sadly, the Court of Appeals did not agree with that.
Oh, my goodness. And I know that, I think it was last April, well, it last spring anyway, you guys started a petition because President Obama has up on the web, he's announced that if you have a problem with the government, you can start a petition and we will look at that issue. And you guys had a goal of 100,000 signatures on a petition asking the Obama administration to allow the Romeikes to stay. And you obtained that over 100,000 signatures in April of last year. So it was there was a groundswell of support for the family, and consistently the Obama administration was on the, shall we say, the wrong side of history on this issue, because the American people were, the way I'm reading it, the American people were very outraged that this family that was not causing any problem in this country, they just had come here to homeschool their children, live peacefully, and they were following the rules as far as they were not sneaking over the border, and the U.S. government was going to force them to go back to face possible removal of their children. It's still mind-boggling to me. And, you know, the DOJ consistently said that the German family is not facing any kind of persecution. You can't prove it. But in this case, it's very blatant. I think in other asylum cases, it may not be as straightforward as in this case. But in this case, it definitely is straightforward. But I'm not an attorney. I'm just a former homeschool mom.
We like to think, and you know, we ask our supporters, and we are a Christian organization, so we meet and pray about our cases regularly, mm-hmm. and we ask our supporters and you know the general public to be praying for the outcome of the court case. So on Monday we were pretty disappointed that the Supreme Court didn't take the case because we were seeing signs that they had a real interest
right.
in it, and so it was very disappointing when they did not. But I will say that the Lord did answer the prayers, because on Tuesday the Department of Homeland Security announced that the Romaikas would be allowed to stay in the country in a deferred action status indefinitely, which, you know, I don't know this. This is only speculation, but you mentioned the petition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the petition reached 100,000, the administration did answer, and their answer was that they couldn't answer us while there was pending litigation.
So their answer was that they couldn't answer.
They couldn't
okay.
answer because it
of
was in
pending.
Court.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the day after the court case was over, I mean, it's pretty coincidental. You know,
yeah.
they announced that the Romaikas could stay. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I mean, we think that the petition made a tremendous
mm-hmm.
difference in the administrative agency, and the administrative agency was saying they couldn't answer until you know, the court case was over.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that the Lord certainly answered the prayers of all
right.
the people that were following the case.
Yeah, I know we sent out a couple alerts. Whenever you guys send out an alert, we usually follow up with sending it out on our list about praying for the Romaika family. I think the Lord intervened there for sure. In my view, the way this case was headed, the Romaikas are going to be on the next plane to Germany. And I couldn't imagine. I know that I read, in fact, I probably was in your news release. I can't remember what, the one that you guys put out right after the DHS contacted you guys. But that small community there in Kentucky was ready to come to the defense of the Romaika family and do all they could to prevent their removal by government agencies. So that was good. But what does this tell us? As you mentioned, that the homeschooling movement is growing by leaps and bounds in this country. And there's always the fear that there's going to be some change in the laws. I know you guys watch the state laws very closely. And if there's any threat to homeschooling laws in a state, you advise or you warn your email base there in whatever state it is. But what does this tell us about this administration when it comes to homeschooling and the right of parents to homeschool their children?
Well, I don't know if I want to pin anything on the administration
okay.
too strongly, but
okay.
I will say that in America today, we need to be really vigilant to protect and preserve our freedoms to homeschool, because the philosophy that is expressed by the German government and the German courts is very similar to the philosophy that's expressed by many academics in America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that there's a sort of a rising, growing movement to make the argument that homeschooling children should be more incorporated into the public schools for the same reasons as the German government has said.
That, to have a diverse community, a diverse
yeah,
society.
And you know, this is just so ironic that in the interest of diversity, they want to mandate
yeah.
conformity.
Yeah.
And what it really means is, look, homeschool parents, you know, and you're a homeschool mom, you know that homeschooling parents, there are a lot of Christian homeschooling parents.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of other people who homeschool that aren't religious at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so homeschool parents run the gamut, you know, religiously and philosophically and so forth. But the people who are advocating to change homeschooling, they want everybody to be taught what they believe is correct.
Yeah.
And they tie it up and, you know, they try to gussy it up and say, this is really for the benefit of everyone. What it really means is they just want everybody to do it their way.
Right. Cookie-cutter kids. They
right.
want them to think the same way. And
it's not just think the same way. They want them to think the same way in the same way that the people who are advocating this
right.
think.
True. That's true. That's true.
Know, it's a particular way of thinking.
Yeah. And we see that with Common Core, that the whole effort to federalize the education system, continued effort. So they're going to have even more of a situation where kids in public school are going to be taught the same, you know, again, the cookie cutter kids, that old concept. But I'm troubled that they were so adamant about attacking or about overturning the initial asylum, and then all that they had to, you know, you guys went through in defending them, and the hour, I can't even imagine how many hours you had to spend writing legal briefs and the time in court and all that. But, you know, as you said, you pray over cases, and this is, I agree with you, it's absolutely a sign that the Lord intervened in this case with this Christian homeschooling family. And it's interesting that you're saying that homeschooling is not just done by Christian parents, that there are other ones who also view the education system, public education system, as a problem in this country. So that's interesting. Now, that report you said the Department of Education does every few years about homeschooling, that covers all homeschooling, all families, I mean, not just Christian families, but all families that are registered as homeschooling families in the 50 states.
Yeah, what they do is it used to be every 4 years, and they changed their methodology because it's a phone survey, and
okay,
with fewer people using landlines and more people using cell phones, to keep the study valid, they had to change the methodology. So this last time was a five-year gap.
Okay.
But, yeah, so they do a survey, and from that phone survey, they ask a bunch of questions, including, you know, how many children are being educated at home. And then they come out with a report, and I think the first time they did it was in 1999. So we have several reports, and each year, each one of these reports, if you graph it, homeschooling just continues to grow, and they say that it's about 3.4% of children today are homeschooled.
Wow. Now, this is completely off topic, but do you think that is why the Common Core is also going to change the SAT?
Well, what, you know, the Common Core is a classic example of, you know, kind of technocratic wrongheadedness.
Right.
Homeschooling works because it puts control of education at kind of the lowest level possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you want to be in a co-op with other parents who think that classical education is important, you can do that. If you want to be in a co-op where, or, you know, if you just want to sit, you know, be at home and work at the kitchen table the whole time with your kids, you can do that. If you want your kids, if you have a kid who's particularly interested in, you know, computers, you can really gear the program to computers or woodworking or whatever it is. And so, you know, the lowest level is in charge, and the kids benefit. But the top-down Common Core approach would essentially make everyone have to teach to the test because of the you know, because of the conformity that Common Core requires. And you mentioned the SAT. Yes, that's a perfect example. So currently the SAT is really designed for a diversity of educational approaches and not geared to any one approach. But in the future, everybody's going to be required to, you know, follow one approach. And if you're not following that approach, you know, the SAT may be
penalized.
A problem.
Yeah, that's how I view the efforts to change the SAT. And it's an effort, I believe, to force even homeschooling kids into conforming to the dictates of Common Core. So it's very troubling to me that they're doing that. But, you know, they're telling the kids that government knows best, and we know that's not true. So as far as the Romica family, they've been granted an indefinite stay. And, you know, our feeling is that, or my feeling is that, the Obama administration will not revoke that.
That is our belief. It's an administrative, you know, it's within administrative discretion.
Right.
And it is technically revocable, but, you know, we know the family, and if you've followed the story at all, you know that they're just a kind of a regular kind of standard issue Christian homeschooling family, that they don't really, you know, covet the limelight, and they don't really want to they just want to be able to stay home and homeschool their kids and live on a little farm, and they want to raise their kids up to be good, God-fearing adults and contributing members of society. So I suspect that they'll have no difficulties.
Yeah, good. And if any of our listeners may be interested in homeschooling, how would they get information on how to do that?
Well, on our website at hslda.org, we have a lot of aids, you know, whether it's what's the law in my state. We have several consultants that have articles on our website telling you how to get started. We have articles geared towards, you know, if you have high school kids, mm-hmm. and, you know, we have these consultants are available for consultation to our members. Just a wealth of information and resources on our website.
Okay, fantastic. And that's HSLDA. And I would encourage parents to strongly consider homeschooling their kids, because only you as a parent knows what's best for your child. And it definitely offers a lot of opportunities that the public school system cannot offer for your child. So I would encourage you to check out hslda.org and check into the Pennsylvania homeschool laws and or whatever, you know, whatever state you may be living in as you're listening to this, because it's very important that we train the next generation to set this country back on the path that our founding fathers intended it to be on, which it currently is not headed. That direction is actually headed the other direction. So thanks, Jim, so much for being with us. And again, we can join HSLDA in praising the Lord that he intervened in the case of the Romica family. And he definitely is due the praise in this case.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for letting me talk about the case. And thanks to your listeners for praying for the Romicas.
Okay, hey, you take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.